This is a different type of service, very, very different from the next service, where this is very much for believers, for Christians, and intended to focus your mind and heart on truth. So you have a lengthy handout with the most of the content, and you'll spend most of your time in this service with your head down looking at this, your heart before the Lord. So as you look at your handout, you see three different types of text. The bold text is Scripture that we will read out loud together. The italicized text is for hymns. The piano is going to play those. We're not going to sing them. But you have the text there, so you'll just listen and look at the text and meditate on those truths. Then at the bottom of the first page, you see some text that is neither bold nor italics. That is other Scripture, which I'll read myself. Okay, so bold is Scripture that we'll read out loud together. Italics is hymn text that we will meditate on while the piano plays. And then there's regular verse text that I'll read out loud. This meditation is taken from Isaiah 25, not the entire chapter, but selections from it. And if you notice, looking through the bold sections, you will see that we are going to say out loud together Isaiah 25:1 several times. And that is in the hope that the truths there will sink deeply, and we might even begin to memorize the verse. You might be halfway to having it memorized by the time we're done this morning. After the final song, we'll go to the hallway and take the Lord's Supper as our response to these things. Okay, everybody has the handout now. We're settled. Let us pray. Father, we look to you now. We need our hearts turned to look to you, so you understand that our desire is to seek you. And we pray that you might grant the fulfillment of that desire. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the one challenge for you as you follow along with this handout is that you'll have these moments where you'll need to not read ahead but listen to my little comments. So just be ready for those as we go along. All right, would you look with me and read out loud with me? Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. You are my God, meaning I'm proud that Yahweh is my God. If we're proud of something, we might say, that's my school, or that's my team, or that's my son or daughter. How much more can we say, that's my God? Can you say this morning, Yahweh is my God? Yet it's also personal, isn't it? He is my God. He is the God who chose me as his own, who purchased me to be his own, who welcomes me as his own, who calls me his own. Isaiah says, I will exalt you. Exalt, to lift up. He was lifted up on the cross, lifted up in resurrection, and now is lifted up through his people who love him. As we celebrate how Jesus was lifted up in resurrection, we're reminded that it's our privilege to lift him up today. to exalt Him. This Easter, does your heart seek to lift Him up? Can you say this morning, Yahweh, You are my God, I will exalt You. It will exalt Him when your heart eagerly takes the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper. It will exalt Him when your heart wants to lift your voice in song. It will exalt Him when your heart reaches out in care for His body, the church. In so many ways today, we get to lift Him up. One together again. O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. I will praise Your name, Isaiah says. His name is great, so we will praise it. Praising His name is praising Yahweh for all that He is. Praising Him for all that He is for us in Christ. His name, shepherd, brother, friend, prophet, priest, king, Lord, life, way, and our end. Praise His name, for He has done wonderful things, Isaiah says, things that make you marvel. If you've studied the Restore study, you know about this word. Things that make you say, how could anybody do that? Or even, why would He do that? Chosen precious child. He does wonderful things that make His children marvel, make His children grateful that He is their Father. We not only marvel, but we also rest. We rest with confidence because the things He does are not the impetuous decisions of an earthly father trying to figure out how to get this parenting thing to work. No, the things He does are because of His... Do you see the words there? What are they because of? They're because of His plans formed of old, faithful and sure. One dictionary says that the word sure means full of trustworthiness. His plans are full of trustworthiness. Thank you. See the word mysterious? That's the word that captures the uncertainty you have about God's plans in your present. Things that seem so mysterious now, where does our confidence come that they will be bright at last? Go to the preceding line, and the hymn writer says, God is going to guide the future as he has the past. And so, on this Resurrection Sunday, when you see those words, as he has the past, you could think of the death and resurrection of Christ. The ways God's plans were carried out in the death and resurrection of Christ. Whether we were referring to the ways God planned those events to correspond with important Jewish holidays, or the way the resurrection was the fulfillment of ancient promises, or the way God planned before the foundation of the world to bring salvation through Christ, God definitively guided every event surrounding the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he will undertake to guide your future as he did that past. So, your hope and your confidence let nothing shake. He is guiding your future as surely as he guided the past. His plans are full of trustworthiness. So verse 1 again. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Now Isaiah continues, for you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. And that verse 3, by the way, is us, the Gentiles. Verse 4, for you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. You subdue the noise of the foreigners, as heat by the shade of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is put down. Isaiah spoke of ancient and future triumphs of God over the enemies of his people. But could we not also think of all of the people and nations that rise up against God and his people at any time? The ancient nations raged against Israel and their king. But then what happened with Jesus? Do you remember what they said in the beginning of Acts? Pilate, Herod, the nations rose up against God's anointed king. The Sanhedrin rose up against God's King Jesus. Yet no one could stop the resurrection. Battle is not done. So we could think of the enemies of the nation. We could think of the enemies of the Christ. But what if instead you consider the enemies of your soul? The sting of death, the poison of sin, what Paul in Colossians calls the record of deaths that stood against you. Our own rebellious hearts that condemn us before God. How would you do it overcoming those enemies? Would anyone here stand up as a victorious warrior to go conquer sin and rebellion and death? Can God overtake those enemies that threaten to destroy our souls? One again. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. And now we go down to verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food, full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. What is the picture here? A feast of celebration after all of the enemies are defeated. Not just any feast, the very best kind of feast. The language here pictures the richest feast that an ancient Israelite could have imagined. The kind of feast that most Israelites would never experience. Not once. Because it was reserved only for the most royal of people and the most royal of occasions. And see, verse 6 begins with the words, on this mountain. Because it's not just a feast, it's a coronation. The mountain of Zion is where King Jesus rules. And it's not just a feast. And it's not just a coronation. But it's also a wedding. Isaiah 25:6 looks to the day when Christ celebrates with his bride, the church, having defeated all of the enemies, seated as the king. And they feast and celebrate with groom and bride. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Now, together with that feast, with that coronation, with that wedding celebration, comes something else, one final victory, one ultimate triumph for the last enemy to be destroyed. Can you fill in this blank? For the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Verse 7 together. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. farewell, mortal night. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, and then verse 1, back to back, okay? And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. All right, on your final page here, we're going to continue reading. I'm going to read verse 8 and the beginning of verse 9. You will join me as you see in the middle of verse 9. When we finish reading verse 9, we'll stand and we'll sing together. But notice that we're not singing the chorus between each of the verses. We'll sing three verses straight through and then the chorus. Verse 8, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Stand together now. so you go now and you take the bread and you take the cup, and they picture you say through those things, Jesus, I take you. I accept your love. I believe in your death and resurrection. It is well with my soul because this is my life. And so you get to visually picture through the Lord's Supper what you've heard and what you've said and what you've sung. And now we proclaim it through the visible illustration. Ready to proclaim the Lord's death after that. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. All right, let's put ourselves on the spot. We've said Isaiah 25:1 about six times together. How can you do? I'll say it once, okay? And then we'll try it together as our concluding prayer. So let me read it to you once. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Let's say that together as our closing prayer, okay? O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you, I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Amen. Enjoy each other's fellowship for a few minutes. And on this Easter Sunday morning, if you took one of the $75 seats on the ends of the aisles, could you move into the cheap seats in the middle? Leave some of those expensive seats on the aisle for any of our guests that may come this morning. We'd appreciate your help with our seating. The Lord bless you. Encourage each other in the Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you because you're the one who does wonderful things and has given us life today. Continue to be the life-giving God through your word. May it continue to quicken us, to bring us to life today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.